Hello and good morning. My name is Kayla Verhoeven. Today is Thursday, July 30th of 2026, and we're going to go ahead and start out with a bright side. I always see a better future. Education, top story spotlight. Back to School Alliance offers rewarding volunteer opportunities to ensure student success by DJack Alkire 3 hours ago. Normal. A backpack full of school supplies from the Back to School Alliance is more than just a collection of pencils, markers, and notebooks. It's a pathway to a richer future, said Jonte Jones. The 17-year-old, who claims to be going on 40, was on hand with his classmates from Youth Build McLean County filling hundreds of backpacks on Tuesday, July 28th at Midwest Food Bank. I always see a better future, he said. I feel like everybody should come together as a community, help each other, and be one. And if one person doesn't have this, try to give it to them, you know. Help out and don't be greedy. And the Twin Cities community is always ready to help, said Jan Meadows, retired elementary teacher and chairwoman of the Back to School Alliance. In Bloomington Normal, when there is a need, there is a way to get it. And people want to give, she said. To that end, she and her team of volunteers are gearing up to hand out 4,000 backpacks to eligible students entering pre-kindergarten through the 8th grade at McLean County, Unit 5, and Bloomington District 87, ensuring every child has what they need on day one of the school year, Meadows said. Students who qualify for free and reduced lunch and have completed all registration requirements for school are eligible to participate in the school supply giveaway. This year's giveaway takes place from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, August the 13th, at State Farm Corporate South Parking Deck East. I often have said that having been a first grade teacher, the worst thing in the world is seeing a six-year-old without their things and coming in on the first day of school already feeling beaten and dejected about how they're starting off, she said. And for Youth Build's Mara Bike, excuse me, it was organizations like the Back to School Alliance that made sure that this was not the case. I had to do something like this when I was little, getting something donated, she said. I know now that it was people who worked hard to make sure I had what I needed when I was growing up. And I'm working hard now to make sure that they have this as well. The nonprofit regularly engages volunteers to fill those hundreds and thousands of backpacks throughout the year and hand them out, Meadows said. And she has more volunteers ready than work that needs done for the most part. My problem often is finding enough jobs for the volunteers that we have, which is a wonderful problem to have. But I know so many people want to help, and we just have our slots filled, Meadows said. The only volunteer slots left are two-hour shifts directing traffic, she said on Tuesday. We never have enough of that, but otherwise handing out backpacks is full. Everybody loves to do that, Meadows said. The smiles from the families, the thank yous from the children, and the delight of picking those things out is very rewarding. The whole process is rewarding, said Youth Build's Ava Carter. We're giving back to the community, and we're helping kids that aren't able to get the things that they need for schools, she said. It makes me happy that we're able to help others. Even with no shortage of volunteers, they always need donations, Meadows said, especially since some of the historically large donors have fallen off in most recent years. We have donation boxes in 48 locations right now in Bloomington Normal, and some have QR codes and ways to donate financially, along with boxes to drop things in, she said. They also make use of the back-to-school sales to bolster their future stock, Meadows noted. Especially at this time of the year when everything's on sale, we try to, you know, overbuy so that we have some things to start off with the next year. We shop clearance. I have shoppers, she said. I get texts at all times of the day. A shopper at Menards was the most recent one. I found backpacks at Menards marked down to $3, I said. Buy them. We'll write you a check. The charity in Bloomington Normal is like a magic pot of pasta that always gives what's needed, Meadows said. In first grade, we always taught this story. We always read this story about Striga Nona, who had a magic pasta pot, and no matter what, that pasta kept giving as long as you needed it, A lot of times, it's like Stregonona's magic pots the pot. We need it, and it counts, she said, laughing. To donate, volunteer, or find out how to get involved, visit backtoschoolalliance.org or find the organization on Facebook. Moving on now to some other news, the Uptown Station rules to stay. Town rejects ACLU call to amend the conduct policy by Matisse Janique 2 hours ago. Normal will not amend or delay enforcement of its updated Uptown Station Code of Conduct, officials said, rejecting constitutional objections from the ACLU of Illinois and the Chicago Coalition to End Homelessness. ACLU representative said Tuesday that the organization disagrees with the town's legal analysis, but has not announced what action, if any, it may take next. We continue to review the letter from Normal. Ed Yonka, Director of Communications and Public Policy for the ACLU of Illinois, said in an email, suffice to say that we do not agree with the analysis offered by the town's council. Yonka said the organization will continue monitoring the situation, listening to people in Normal, and assessing possible next steps. Jason Corsagrosa, Corporation Counsel for the town, wrote Monday that the town considered the constitutional and procedural issues raised by the organizations while drafting the ordinance and developing enforcement procedures. The town does not believe that further amendment of the ordinance is necessary, he wrote in a response to two organizations calling for three elements of the ordinance to be amended. Kathy Olofsson, Normal's Director of Communications and Community Relations, said the town also will not pause enforcement. The ordinance was published July 22nd and takes effect on August the 1st. The council adopted the expanded code July 20th in a 5-2 vote after rejecting a proposed 2-week delay sought by homeless service providers and some council members. The ACLU and Chicago Coalition subsequently asked Normal to amend 3 provisions involving solicitation, personal property, and exceptions for people banned from Uptown Station. The organizations described the provisions as unconstitutional and urged the council to change them, quote-unquote, at the earliest possible opportunity. Solicitation restriction. The code prohibits soliciting donations of money, goods, or other tangible properties unless the activity is authorized through a lease, permit, town-sponsored program, transit provider activity, or other written approval. The ACLU and Chicago Coalition argued the provision regulates speech based on its content because someone could ask them for a petition signature, but not for money or food. In response, Corsagrosa said the restriction applies to the operational portions of a transportation and municipal facility, not ordinary sidewalks or public plazas. Exterior public access areas are excluded from the ordinance. Solicitation has been prohibited inside Uptown Station since it opened in 2012, and the operational areas have never been opened as a forum for unrestricted solicitation, he noted. Corsagrosa said the town will apply the restriction reasonably, without regard to viewpoint and consistently with each area's intended use. Property procedures. The organizations also objected to language allowing the town to remove unattended property without expressly requiring procedures for notice, storage, and retrieval. Under the written notice, the city manager may establish procedures governing removal, inventory, storage, retrieval, and disposal. The ACLU and Chicago Coalition argued those protections should be mandatory and in place before property is removed. According to the town's response, the staff already follows procedures for handling unattended belongings, and an updated written version was circulating for leadership review. Olofsson said the procedures will be finalized and reviewed with employees and security personnel by July 31st, 1 day before the ordinance will take effect. Before removing belongings, the staff will give verbal reminders and make reasonable efforts to locate the owner, according to the town. Items that present an immediate risk to health, sanitation, or security may be discarded. Other property will be stored securely for at least 60 days. People will not need identification or have to pay a fee to recover their belongings, but they must reasonably describe the property. Signs inside Uptown Station provide a telephone number for arranging retrieval during business hours. Quaragosa wrote that the provision allowing the city manager to maintain procedures does not authorize the town to omit them or summarily discard unattended property. Access for people who are banned. The third dispute concerns written bans from Uptown Station. According to the ordinance, a ban notice may include exceptions allowing a person to use transit, attend public meetings, vote, retrieve property, respond to legal proceedings, or access essential town services. The ACLU and Chicago Coalition argued necessary exceptions must be included rather than left to the town's discretion. In response, normal officials indicated the appropriate exceptions will depend on the scope of each ban and the attack activities affected. The updated code distinguishes among the station's transit, parking, and city hall areas, meaning that conduct in one area would not necessarily warrant exclusion from others. A ban will identify the areas it covers and will not be broader or last longer than reasonably warranted by the underlying conduct, Quaragosa wrote. When a ban would otherwise interfere with transit, a public meeting, voting, legal proceedings, property retrieval, or another protected activity, the town said it will provide an exception or access procedures. That could involve an escort, appointment, designated route, or other conditions. Olufsen said ban notices have been used since the original code was adopted in 2012. The town's legal department is working with Normal Police and other security agencies to update the notices and procedures for the revised ordinance. The 2012 code also included a written appeal process for bans. Aside from the written response, the town's legal team has not held additional discussions with the ACLU or Chicago Coalition. The ACLU did not specify which parts of Normal's response it disputes or whether it will take further action before the ordinance takes effect. Fair food choices abound. McLean County Fair by Olivia Jacobs 2 hours ago. Riley Stevens works on a dirty soda order on Wednesday, July 29th of 2026 at the McLean County Fair on the fairgrounds at 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. You can get a corn dog or a funnel cake at McLean County Fair, of course, but how about jerk chicken, a dirty soda, or sour shaved ice? Fairgoers will have a slew of new and returning food options this year. As part of a $1 million investment from the McLean County Farm Bureau, the McLean County Fair added 7 new food vendors to get their lineup this year, in addition to the 8 or 9 regulars. The newbies are Sweet Generations Pour and More of Mackinac, In and Out of Foods of Harvey, Nautical Bulls of Normal, Williams Concessions of Normal, Travelin' Tom's Coffee and Kona Ice, both of East Peoria, and John's Family Foods of Henderson, Kentucky. In-N-Out of Foods. Althea Fry, owner of In-N-Out Foods, will serve loaded baked potatoes, seafood egg rolls, pulled pork egg rolls and sandwiches, jerk chicken, loaded fries, loaded nachos, and more. Items average $13. She said her jerk chicken bacon ranch potato is currently doing really well. I always wanted to cook, so I just one day bought me a small hot dog wagon, and I started from there. So ever since, I've been cooking, Fry said. Fry has brought her trailer to markets and a fair in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for the last 5 years, and was asked to come to McLean County. She said she enjoys seeing different people and different trucks, and enjoys coming up with new ideas for food. John's Family Foods. Larry Johns, owner and operator of John's Family Foods, has been bringing food to fairs for over 40 years. The family business, now in its third generation, has various trailers serving funnel cakes, deep-fried Oreos, corn dogs, lemon and strawberry shakeups, tacos in a bag, supreme nachos, quesadillas, and chicken fajitas. Their most popular items are the tacos in a bag and the deep-fried Oreos. The taco in a bag comes in an individual bag for $15 or a family size for $25. Anna Johns, Larry's daughter, said they also go to Logan County Fair in Lincoln and events in Marshall, Illinois, and heard great things about McLean County. The fairs are always nice. It's just the excitement in meeting new people. We can't wait to see what it brings, Anna Johns said. We've been in the business a long time, and I think a lot of people appreciate that. Sweet Generations, Pour and More. Another third-generation business, in a different sense, is Sweet Generations, Pour and More, a dirty soda business run by Alyssa Whiteburst and her mom and daughter, which she feels is special. Whiteburst was inspired by watching TikToks and saw dirty sodas were very popular in the South and in Utah. She said she wanted to bring something local and said there's room for all of the dirty soda businesses. They started the business in September with the tent set up and purchased a trailer in March. They've done smaller events such as the McLean County Route 66 Festival, a pop-up at Sam's Club in Normal for the Children's Miracle Network fundraiser, and in Eureka for the 4th of July. We just hope to bring something new and that people can branch out and try something different. We like to see people trying sodas and like them, Whiteburst said, noting that she has gone to the McLean County Fair since she was a child. For those who are not familiar with dirty sodas, she said, it is taking a soda base and adding different flavored syrups to make it taste completely different, some topped with half and half or cold foam. Their most popular drink is the Salute Your Shorts, made with root beer, toasted marshmallow, white chocolate syrup, and half and half. Whiteburst described its taste similar to a s'more. Additionally, they offer dirty sodas and flavored teas, as well as sugar-free options. Her daughter also has a cottage food license, so she will be selling baked goods, such as cinnamon rolls, cakesicles, and gourmet cookies. Sweet Generations also will be at Danvers Days, Spoon River Valley Scenic Drive Fall Festival in Fulton County, and the Burgoo Festival in Utica. They also do private events. Mickey's Massive Burritos. Mickey Venegas will be returning for a second year with his Mickey's Massive Burritos business, which is based in LaSalle and is celebrating 25 years in business. I'm very excited to come back again. Everyone was polite and genuine, just to work with. A nice little fair that you can work and have fun, Venegas said. All of our food is made from scratch. There's nothing out of a bag. We made it all in-house and bring it out fresh from LaSalle to Bloomington. The heat was bad last year, but so far the weather is looking like it will stay in the 80s, he said, adding that he believes everyone will come out and be happy if it does. Mickey's is known for its Annie's Tacos, which won first place at the state fair 2 years ago, and other popular items include burritos and burrito bowls, taquitos, quesadillas, and flavored lemon shakeups. Items range from $10 to $20. Roger Williams of Williams's Concessions has been taking his food trailer to flea markets, small town festivals, and the Sweet Corn Circus in the Uptown Normal and other events for over the 27 years now. But this is his first year attending a county fair. I've just sold a little bit of everything over the years, and I keep wanting to retire, but I just love doing it. I love people, I love crowds, and enjoy doing it, Williams said. He always said he wanted to come to the McLean County Fair, and this year there was finally room for him to bring his mini donuts and Italian ice. He offers 6 flavors of mini donuts, and will have 8 different flavors of Italian ice at the fair, including cherry, blueberry, mango, pineapple, tropical rainbow, and lemon. Prices start at $5. If you go down the road there, everybody sells shake-ups or corn dogs or stuff like that. But I wanted something different that no one will sell. And I found it with the mini donuts and Italian ice. You just have to have some kind of niche that gives people a reason to come to your trailer, he said. Kona Ice and Travelin' Tom's Coffee. Robin Durrell will be on his site with two franchise trailers, Kona Ice and Travelin' Tom's Coffee. Durrell is an independent trailer owner who has been with Kona for 10 years and bought her first Travelin' Tom's Coffee truck in 2024. Durrell often attends events such as the Morton Pumpkin Festival and has mainly done events within Tazewell County, but she recently purchased territory to be able to come to McLean County. Our Kona ice is shaved ice, and the best part of our truck is that we have a flavor wave on the outside. So what you're going to get is a cup of domed ice and a spoon, and you go down and flavor it with whatever you want. We have 10 choices of flavors, and just this past year, we've gone half invisible, which means half of our flavor wave is dye-free, Durrell explained. Most popular flavors include blue raspberry and tiger's blood. They also have smoothies, candy spoons, and additional sour and other toppings that are big hits with the kids, she said. Tom's offers nitro energy drinks, refreshers, lattes, frappes, lemonades, smoothies, and more. They can also add boba to drinks. Any coffee lover's dream is on that truck, so if you like any kind of latte, frappe, or any special drink that you can think of, our baristas on the Tom truck will help you out, she added. Other returning vendors this year include Carl's Ice Cream, Corn Belt Concessions, D Dirty Burger, Balco Duchess Funnel Cakes, Concessions Unlimited, Timeless Clover's Alumni Ice Cream Tent, McLean County Beef and Pork Producers, Uncle Les's Kettle Corn, and Westmoreland's Funnel Cakes, Corn Dogs, and Burger Joint. Fairgoers can also vote for their favorite food vendor, and a winner will be announced at 2:30 p.m. Friday in the food court tent. Guests should look for the QR codes posted at each food vendor to cast their vote. You can visit mcleancountyfair.org/food for more information. Once again, you can visit mcleancountyfair.org/food for more information. Moving on now to some other news. Fauci is silent at the Senate hearing. The disease expert takes the fifth, said Rand Paul campaign, unhinged, by Ahmed Abulanein 2 hours ago. Anthony Fauci, the former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the medical advisor to several U.S. presidents, appeared Wednesday before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee on Capitol Hill in Washington. The former top U.S. infectious disease expert declined to answer questions at a Senate hearing on Wednesday, invoking his constitutional right against self-incrimination, and accusing Republican Senator Rand Paul of quote-unquote unhinged campaign to see him imprisoned. Under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions, Fauci told the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, which Paul chairs, in his opening statement. Fauci declined to answer 15 questions from Paul, invoking his Fifth Amendment rights for each of them. Paul and Fauci were not allowed to plead the Fifth that a pardon issued by former President Joe Biden would not protect him, and that there would be consequences for his refusal to answer the questions. Fauci, who led the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases for 38 years and became the face of the U.S. pandemic response, has long been the target of criticism by President Donald Trump and many American conservatives. Trump, before the hearing, wrote of Fauci on social media, "His ideas were crazy." Biden pardoned Fauci on January 19, 2025, for any offenses he may have committed since 2014 in connection with COVID-19 or his role as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The pardon does not cover subsequent conduct. The committee will have to consider, after this hearing, what the appropriate action should be taken for your failure to testify after being directed to do so. It's against the law to obstruct an investigation of Congress. There will be repercussions to your refusal to testify today, Paul said. Paul then had one of Fauci's lawyers removed from the hearing after refusing to recognize his attempts to speak. In a statement, Fauci's attorney David Schertler called Paul's pursuit, quote-unquote, an obsessive vendetta, and said the accusations are, quote-unquote, false, disgraceful, and we will examine all options to hold him accountable. Schertler said in a verbal clash between Fauci and Paul at a 2021 hearing triggered an intense and seemingly pathological course of retribution, revenge, and obsession by the Kentucky senator toward Fauci. Paul, for years, called for Fauci to be indicted and accused him of lying to Congress about whether the National Institutes of Health funded a quote-unquote gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China, and of helping cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. Slanderous comments. Fauci denies both claims and said he testified truthfully multiple times before Congress on these issues. Given Senator Paul's obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution, his repeated slanderous comments about me, and recently his publicly releasing my unredacted personal diary aimed at embarrassing and intimidating me, Fauci said, the only conclusion I can reach is that the sole reason he is calling me before this committee is to get me to say something that could vindicate his repeated public pledges that I end up, in his word, quote-unquote, behind bars. Any reasonable person who has followed his unhinged obsession with me would readily come to the same conclusion, Fauci said. Senator Gary Peters, a Democrat from Michigan, the committee's top Democrat, said in his opening statement that the hearing was biased and criticized the investigation for having predetermined conclusions. This hearing appears to be a culmination of months of biased and selected efforts by the majority under the guise of a committee investigation to basically legitimize a predetermined conclusion that was reached years ago, Peters said. It's not just what we investigate that matters, but how we conduct that investigation. One-sided investigations designed to validate predetermined conclusions do not serve the American people who sent us to actually uncover the truth to solve problems, Peters said. Gain-of-function research is, broadly, work that modifies a pathogen in ways that could make it more transmissible or dangerous, though scientists disagree over how narrowly the term should be defined. That disagreement is the crux of the Paul Fauci dispute. Paul says the NIH funded such work in Wuhan and that Fauci lied when he denied it, while Fauci says the research did not meet the government's formal regulatory definitions. How time flies. 100 years ago, on this date in July of 1926, now that R.B. Miller has been appointed the chief forester for Illinois, a new position that his attention will be called to Funk's Grove as an eligible location for one of the proposed state parks. The bill creating the place and appropriating $10,000 for the use of forestry was introduced by Representative Springer of Chicago. 75 years ago, on July 30th of 1951, 8 retired Bloomington firemen swapped fire yarns on July 29th during a reunion at Central Fire Station. Guest of honor was Ira Homan, who was returning to Iron Mountain, Michigan. Others were Rolla B. Neal, Herbert Graham, Martin Art, Alfred Gierman, John Link, Ralph Leisch, and Raymond Huffman. Thank you so much for listening with us today, friends. My name is Kayla Verhoeven, and until next time, with part 2 of the Pantograph, have a great day.